Welcome to the ASHP Official Podcast, your guide to issues related to medication use, public health, and the profession of pharmacy.
Hello, I'm here with Ismael Yanusa to discuss his article, Risk of Opioid Overdose Associated with Concomitant Use of Oxycodone and Selective Serotonin Reuptake Inhibitors, which has been awarded the Literature Award for Drug Therapy Research. How did you identify the need for this research?
We identified the need for the study based on the knowledge that some selective serotonin receptor uptake inhibitor antidepressants inhibit the metabolism of oxycodone, a potent opioid, which may ultimately lead to opioid overdose by having an increased plasma concentration of oxycodone in the.
How can pharmacists then use the results of this study in caring for their patients?
Pharmacists can use the result of the study by understanding that fluoxetine and paroxetine, which are potent inhibitors of oxycodone metabolism, are more likely to result in opioid overdose if used with oxycodone compared to other SSRI antidepressants. So in such situation, they might recommend alternative SSRIs that are not potent inhibitors of oxycodone metabolism.
Well, congratulations to you, Ismael. It was a real pleasure meeting you.
It's a pleasure meeting you too. And thank you, Jasmine, for all your support.
I'm here with Jennifer Cole to discuss her article, A Multifaceted Stewardship Intervention Helps Curb Steroid Overprescribing in Hospitalized Patients with Acute Exacerbations of COPD, which has been awarded the Literature Award for Innovation in Pharmacy Practice. In healthcare, we are familiar with antibiotic stewardship efforts. Why and how did you implement a stewardship framework to inpatient steroid prescribing for patients with acute exacerbations of COPD?
Yes, excellent questions. And yet the idea of stewardship can be applied to multiple drug classifications. And as you've just pointed out, the majority of us are most familiar with antibiotic stewardship. But there have also been successful stewardship interventions described with opioids and proton pump inhibitors. The common denominator among these efforts is that stewardship implementers should focus on practice that is based in limited evidence and could pose potential harm for patients. So as far as how to build a framework where previously there was none, the most pragmatic approach would be to first extrapolate literature that's been previously shown to be effective. So in this case, borrowing from antimicrobial stewardship, research suggests that education-only approaches are likely to be less effective and a multifaceted approach should be used. Additionally, stewardship implementers should focus on a specific disease state, and in this case, it was COPD, to better define goals and progress. Support from facility leadership has been shown to be very important in stewardship efforts, as well as taking into account the needs and barriers that may be specific to your institution. And then finally, ongoing reminders for sustainability and monitoring progress are important components of any new stewardship project. So to move on to your question of why steroids? Well, first off, it's been well documented for several years that steroid overprescribing in COPD is well reported among many healthcare facilities. And we found this to be true at my facility as well. This was actually a resident project, and this served as our initial needs assessment. Second, steroids and COPD, it falls into that common denominator we just mentioned, and that real-world practice are often based on very limited evidence and could pose potential harm for patients. And there are multiple reports indicating that inpatients with COPD treated with higher steroid doses see no clinical benefit, but often experience more side effects and longer durations of stay compared to those treated with lower doses. So this really felt like an optimal framework for a stewardship intervention.
How could these interventions be implemented in other practice settings?
Well, I am so glad you asked, because I do feel these interventions are readily implementable in any inpatient setting, and we used a three-prong approach. So after establishing an objective baseline needs assessment, our first intervention was an anonymous survey for providers consisting of a simplified case of a COPD exacerbation. And we simply asked them, which steroids and dose would you prescribe? Now, I personally feel like this first intervention may have been the biggest driver for practice change, as it gave providers a chance to see how their prescribing practices compared to that of their peers. Second, we scheduled face-to-face educational meetings with our providers where we went over the results of the survey, as well as educational components around the evidence of steroid prescribing in COPD patients. Now, in these education components, I do think it will be important for facilities to focus on literature illustrating the harms of steroid overprescribing. And then finally, we allowed our providers to select our third intervention, which would be reminders for sustainability. Ultimately, they selected prospective audit and feedback from a clinical pharmacist. However, empowering them with that choice may have facilitated buy-in and success of the overall program.
Congratulations, Jennifer. It was a pleasure learning more about your work.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for your time. And I would also like to thank the ASHP Foundation for this prestigious honor. It has truly been very rewarding. Thank you.
I am here with Andrea Sikora to discuss her article, MRC ICU Investigator Team, Impact of Pharmacists to Improve Patient Care in the Critically Ill, a large multi-center analysis using meaningful metrics with the Medication Regimen Complexity ICU MRC ICU score, which has been awarded the Literature Award for Pharmacy Practice Research. This research used a complexity score. Can you talk about this tool's development?
Yes. So this was a tool that I developed back in 2016. I had this idea that I wanted to be able to quantify how complex an ICU patient's regimen was, because I kept having conversations where one of the other pharmacists would say, "I think my unit's sicker." And I was like, "I don't know if they are sicker, because I feel like I'm pretty busy too." But it really started to make me think about what does it mean to be sick? What does it mean to be busy as a pharmacist? How can we think about this more objectively? So the idea came up through an awesome resident named Morgan Gwynn, who found another paper called the MRCI, which is used for the community pharmacy setting. And with that score, they used, from a patient's perspective, liquids versus tablets, how many times a day, different stuff like that. And we thought, okay, we're going to do this from a pharmacist's perspective. So we did a literature search. I used some different kind of high priority medication lists from places that I had worked in terms of like what pharmacists monitor. And then we used a kind of a scoring and a inter-rater type validation, all these different steps to kind of come up with the different points that you see. So
based upon this research, what are the implications for the pharmacy workforce?
This is a very important paper in terms of critical care pharmacists, because it was the first that showed that workload might affect patient outcomes. So the idea that we can link a critical care pharmacist workload to patient outcomes, that is never been done before for an ICU pharmacist, but it has been done for ICU physicians and ICU nurses. And so I think that this is an important step for us, that it's not just that you have a pharmacist that's, you know, somewhere on staff, you know, and that looks at ICU patients, but truly, what are you asking that patient to do, or what that pharmacist to do every day. I also think that the score itself has a lot of potential for how it can be used for us to discuss different practice models. Because what you'll hear about is my patients are sicker, or this institution is complex, or we're bigger, or this is our patient population. And that's why we have to do it this way. And it's hard to compare, in their opinion, apples to oranges. Whereas I think that the MRC score has the ability to kind of level that playing field. So if you say, hey, on average, this is what your MRC score is for your ICU patients, this is your SOFA score, your Apache score, I think that starts to say, hey, we actually can maybe make some meaningful comparisons between different practice models. And I think that is a really important direction that we need to explore.
Well, congratulations to you, Andrea. It was a pleasure speaking with you and learning about your great work.
Thank you.
I am here with Stephen Kalesha to discuss his article, Hydrocortisone versus Vasopressin for the Management of Adult Patients with Septic Shock Refractory to Norepinephrine, a multi-center retrospective study. This has been awarded the Literature Award for Student Research. How can pharmacists leverage this research to optimize patient outcomes?
Well, when we talk about the management of septic shock, pharmacists play a key role in not only which medications to use, but when to use them. Looking at the 2021 update to the Surviving Sepsis Campaign guidelines, our primary interventions include broad-spectrum antibiotics, fluid resuscitation, and norepinephrine as our first-line vasopressor. After that, there's a lack of strong evidence to guide both selection and timing of a second agent, but hydrocortisone and vasopressin are both listed as reasonable evidence-based options. Prior to our research, this decision was mainly based on clinician preference and expert opinion. But with our multi-center retrospective study, we were able to show that the addition of hydrocortisone to norepinephrine was associated with a lower 28-day mortality in patients with septic shock compared to the addition of vasopressin. Personally, I feel like steroids are an underutilized part of the septic shock treatment algorithm, possibly due to their lack of direct vasopressor activity when clinicians are faced with a hemodynamically unstable septic patient. This study provides pharmacists with valuable insights on the benefits of initiating hydrocortisone early in the disease process, namely through reducing mortality, reducing recurrence of shock, and also length of stay. Further research will be required to establish optimal utilization of both vasopressin and hydrocortisone in the septic shock treatment algorithm. But this piece of pharmacist-led research provides many opportunities for future hypothesis generation. Sharing these research findings with other healthcare providers not only translates to improved patient outcomes, but it also helps solidify the role of the pharmacist within the healthcare team.
Where do you see your research headed in the future?
While our study supports the use of hydrocortisone over vasopressin, more research has to be done to evaluate the simultaneous initiation of both agents. Comparing simultaneous initiation to individual use of each agent may help shed some light on any potential synergistic effects of vasopressin and hydrocortisone. Also, the timing of vasopressors and adjunctive agents in septic shock have been evaluated as factors influencing patient outcomes, with a trend towards earlier initiation in the disease process. For example, norepinephrine dose and lactate concentration are both markers that can help guide addition of hydrocortisone, vasopressin, and more recently angiotensin II in patients with septic shock. But again, as more research is done, it'll help shape a simplified treatment algorithm for septic shock, which has real-world applicability.
Congratulations to you, Stephen. It was certainly a pleasure meeting you and learning more about your research.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you for listening to ASHP Official, the voice of pharmacists advancing healthcare. Be sure to visit ashp.org/podcast to discover more great episodes, access show notes, and download the episode transcript. If you loved the episode and want to hear more, be sure to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. Join us next time.